As we have in the previous years, we're going to learn some of the Gadatu Gemaras and Maseches Gittin that talk about the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And something that is very interesting about this is when you look here on Nun Hei Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us a whole number of stories that took place in the time of the Churban. And what's noticeable is that you'll see stories about individuals. When we talk about the Churban Beis Hamikdash, it really should be a description of what the Romans did, what the different nations of the world did to us. And yet here, much of the Gemara talks about not what they did to us, but rather what we did to ourselves. The Gemara talks about, first, what we're going to be introduced to is Kamsa Ubar Kamsa, which is not a story about what our enemies did to us, but rather it's a story about what the Jewish people did to themselves. And the message here is very clear, and that is what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tainis. The Rambam is in Perek Hei, Halacha Aleph, Hilchos Tainis, where he says, Yesh Sham Yamim Shekol Yisrael Mis'anim Bahem. There are days in the calendaric year where all Jews all over the world have the practice that they fast from Pnei Hatzarah, She'ira Bahem. Because of the terrible tragedy that happened on these days, and, says the Rambam, Kidei La'orer Halavavos V'Liftach Darkei HaTshuva. The point of fasting on these days is really not so much that we should feel hurt, not so much that we should be in pain, but rather, he says, it is just a way for us to be Ma'orer Halavavos, for us to inspire ourselves V'Liftach Darkei HaTshuva, and to think about the path toward Tshuva. V'yezez Ikar L'Ma'asenu Harayim. Says the Rambam, it's really, the objective is for us to remember all of the mistakes that we made in Maisei Avoseinu Shehayu K'Maaseinu Ata. The same thing that was happening then, unfortunately, says the Rambam, is happening today. And therefore, when you read through the Gemara here, you will notice that the Gemara shares not only the stories about the Romans and all the others who came to destroy the many cities in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash, but it talks also about personal stories of the Jewish community themselves and how they unfortunately made terrible mistakes. And the Rambam says the point of learning all these stories is liftach levavos bedarkei hatshuva. So again, our Gemara Nun Hei Amud Beis is going to begin with the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. And what we need to make clear is that obviously the Gemara is going to say that because of Kamsa or Bar Kamsa, Charv Yerushalayim. That's why Yerushalayim was destroyed. It was not only because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma Daf Tes, and the Yerushalmi has the same idea, that we assume that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of an overall sense of sinas chinam. It wasn't just one neighbor and his friend. It wasn't just one community. It was the entire Jewish people were having some kind of deficiency in the way in which they treated one another. And therefore, the Gemara here just gives one example of how we find how egregious the errors were, how terrible the behavior was. So the Gemara gives us one terrible example of Kamsa of Bar Kamsa, but obviously this is just one example of many of what was really going on at the time, and it's indicative of really the breakdown of the respect for the Jewish people toward one another. So says the Gemara, we are starting about seven lines from the bottom, Akamsa Ubar Kamsa Charv Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, because of the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, that is why Yerushalayim was destroyed. Atarnagola v'Tarnagolta, because of two chickens, Charav Tur Malka. And Rafi very correctly pointed out, if only we would have started from where we ended off last year, maybe we would learn something about the story of the two chickens, but hopefully we'll be able to learn it just as Drosh V'Kabel Schar. So let's see. Asaka the Rispak Charav Beitar. Asaka the Rispak, there are Gemaras in the back. Because of the side of a wagon, Charav Beitar, that is the reason why Beitar was destroyed. So now says the Gemara, let's go to the first of the stories, and let's try to figure out what exactly it means. Akamsa Bar Kamsa Charv Yerushalayim, what does it mean that because of them Yerushalayim was destroyed? You can open the machitza there so everyone can join us. So the Gemara says, what happened? So here we go. Charv Yerushalayim Dahu Gavar Derachamei Kamsa. There was somebody whose friend's name was Kamsa, Ubal Debave, and his enemy had a very similar name, Bar Kamsa. What's surprising is the Maharsha writes in the back of the Gemara that Kamsa and Bar Kamsa were actually father and son, which is unusual. There was a father who hated somebody, and his son happened to be the guy's best friend. So it was a strange story, but the Maharsha says that's why his name was Bar Kamsa. He was actually the son of Bar Kamsa. It's not just that their names happened to be similar. The Maharsha writes, they were actually a father and son. And usually, when a father has an enemy, his son hates him too. But here the Gemara says that Kamsa Bar Kamsa chose friends and enemies differently, and there was a mix-up here. So what happened? Abitsu Dase, there was this person who made a party in Yerushalayim, and when he wanted to make the party, he had a whole guest list. Amarle the Shama, he tells his helper, Zil Aisili Kamsa, I want you to invite my friend, Kamsa. He's a very close friend of mine. Azil Aisili Bar Kamsa. By mistake, he invited the enemy whose name was Bar Kamsa. And as we said, he was the son of Mr. Kamsa himself. Asa Ashkechei Dabbe Yasev. So Bar Kamsa gets the invitation. And Bar Kamsa is coming to this party. And one of the Mefarshim points out, I think it's the Chida writes, that it's very strange. You would think if you get an invitation from somebody who you ate, what would you assume? Your assumption would be, it's time to make up. Obviously, he's inviting me because he wants to make up. So what should happen next? If you come to the party, either you should call him up before you get there and say, thank you very much for the invitation. I see that times have changed. I see that you want our relationship to be different. You should initiate something after he sends you an invitation. Bar Kamsa does not do that. He shows up at the party. And you would think, at least you come to the party, you would go to the balabas who's running the party, and you would say to him, you know, by the way, I appreciate very much the invitation that you gave me. I understand that you want to change the relationship. We're going to have a whole different relationship going forward. And you start talking to him. No, he doesn't. He's so arrogant. He holds by himself. He will not lower himself to go and say that he's sorry to the owner of this home, to the person who's hosting the party. And then it doesn't happen until Bar Kamsa is sitting at the table and the host starts walking around to greet all the guests. And now the host comes to him and he says, what are you doing here? Says the Chida, that's the first mistake. That's where everything went wrong. What kind of derech eretz is that? What kind of way is that to respond when somebody is going out of their way to try to initiate having a relationship once again, and you can't even figure out how to be a mentioned response? So says the Gemara, here's what happens. You're sitting at the table, and along comes the host, and he sees that his enemy is sitting there. Amar lei mechti, ahu gavra bal devave dahu gavru. You are my enemy, my ba'isacha. What are you doing here? We're having a party. You really don't belong here. Kum puk, he says, I would prefer if you would leave the party and get out of my house. Amar lei hol va'asai, he says, please don't embarrass me in public. Everybody's here. They're going to notice that I'm walking out in the middle. So once everybody came, shavkan, do me a favor, let me just remain here. V'yahiv nelach demei ma'da achil nevishasina. You don't have to worry. I'm going to pay you back for whatever it is that I eat in this evening's dinner. Amar lei lo, absolutely not. Top of Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Amar lei, he says, okay, let's negotiate further. I don't want to be embarrassed. Yahiv nalach to make palga disu dasech. I will give you not only the amount of money that I eat at tonight's meal, but I will give you half of the amount of money that you invested in all of the guests that are here. Amar lei lo, absolutely not. Amar lei, yahiv nalach to make kulasu dasech. I will pay you for all of your expenses for the evening. And Amar lei lo, absolutely not. You are my enemy. You don't belong in my house. I don't want you participating. Please leave. Nakte biyade v'ukme v'afke. He picks him up, throws him out of his house. Now, a few points here. Number one, you see kocha shel busha. You see how painful it is for a person to be embarrassed. How do you know? Because look what he's willing to give just not to embarrass himself. I would have said, okay, let me just walk out and I'm done with it. But look what he's willing to negotiate. He's willing to negotiate, I'll pay not only my own meal, I'll pay half of the meal for all the guests that are here. Not only half of the meal, I'll pay for the entire expenses of all the guests that are here. All of that just not to embarrass himself. All of that just so that nobody will look at him funny, nobody will look at him strange. Look how careful we need to be about embarrassing other human beings, because look how far they're willing to go not to embarrass themselves. And here the Gemara says that this host of the party would not hear any of it, and he throws him out of the house. And from here the Shulchan Aruch learns, the Mishnah Berurah points out, the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses writes, what happens if you have an individual who gives over his home to have a minion in the house? Not supposed to be the way that we daven, we're supposed to come to a shul. But let's say you have people, for whatever reason, they have to make a minion in a house. It's too far for them to walk to the local shul, or the community doesn't have a shul yet, so somebody gives their house for everybody to use as a shul. So we're all davening there nicely. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, along comes an individual who I can't stand. Every time he walks into shul, I just get so agitated. He's somebody I never got along with. He's an old business partner. We had issues with each other. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, what do I do then? I don't want this person in my house because he's somebody I just don't appreciate having around. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, do I have a right to say, everyone can use my shul except for this individual? He has to find himself another shul. Writes the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to do that. And if he agitates you so much, the Shulchan Aruch says, the only option you have is to say that we're no longer using my home as the shul. Everybody in the community has to find a new shul. But to single out one person and say, you're not allowed to enter, that would be something that the Shulchan Aruch says is not permissible. Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah, he learns it from this story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Look what happens when you single out one person. The Shulchan Aruch says, when you single out one person and you say, you're different than everybody else and you're going to be treated differently than everybody else is, there, says the Shulchan Aruch, is something we cannot stand by. We cannot allow that to happen. And if there's somebody who bothers you enough, You're going to have to make an alternative arrangement, but you cannot single one individual out. So let's see what the Gemara says here further. Writes the Gemara, Amar, Ho v'habi yasvi rabbanu v'lo matu bei, four lines from the top, since all the Talmidei Chachamim of the generation were sitting at this party, v'lo matu bei, and nobody goes to defend me, here I am, public humiliation, and nobody defends me, shma mina kanicha lehu. You see that it must be all of them are okay with what happened. And I think this is another very important lesson. When bad things happen, and we are present, not just Talmidei Chachamim, when anybody is present, and other people see that you are silent, it shows that you don't care enough to make some kind of, to show that you're displeased about what's happening. And the Gemara here says, some of that blame goes on you. How can you sit there silently? How can you sit there idly when something terrible is happening, when there's a tragedy right in front of your eyes, says the Gemara? This host realizes, and Bar Kamsa says, it must be, if everybody's sitting around and nobody has a problem, it must be they are all accomplices to the crime. Ezel Echel Bukurza Bey Malka. And therefore says Bar Kamsa, I was so humiliated, and I'm so upset about the fact that nobody had a problem with it, I'm going to the local government, I'm going to say the terrible things about the Jewish people. Now, how is he going to convince them that the Jewish people did something wrong? How is he going to convince them that the Jewish people are worthy of being destroyed? Azal, he goes and he says, Le Caesar. He goes to the Caesar and he tells him, Mardu Bach Yehudai, I want you to know that the Jews have rebelled against you. Amar Le Mi Yemar. The Caesar says, what do you mean? They're faithful citizens, they pay the taxes, they contribute to society. How do you know that these Jews are rebelling against me? Amar Le Shadalu Kurbana. He says, let's see, let's test it out. You're going to send a carbon to Yerushalayim and Chazis. Let's see. Let's see if they will offer the carbon that you will send. Azel shader b'yadei igla tilsa. So he goes and he takes a calf and he sends it to Yerushalayim that it should be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Ben Yehudiada writes that the reason why the Gemara uses this term of igla tilsa, why do we have to know exactly what kind of animal he said? So he says, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that every single terrible calamity that happens in the world has some remnant from the mice of the Cheta Egel. And therefore the Gemara here says the reason why he sent an Egel was to remind us of that original terrible Avera of Cheta Egel, and because of that terrible mistake we are suffering ever since. So the Gemara says that he sends this Egel, he sends this calf to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Caesar wants that they should offer the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Now it happens to be the Beis HaMikdash is able to accept carbonos from Jews and non-Jews alike. Ki beisi beis tefila yikari lechal ha'am, and we assume that the Beis HaMikdash is a place that's not only designated for the Jewish people, it's a place where non-Jews can offer a carbon as well, as long as it's done ka'alacha, as long as the Kohen is going to shecht it, as long as everything will be done the right way. So the plan was for this animal to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Bahadi de Ka'asi, as Bar Kamsa is bringing this egel to the Beis HaMikdash, Shada Be Muma ben Ipsa Basayim, he decides he's going to make a mum in the animal. What was the point? Why do you do it ben Ipsa Basayim in the lips? It's a place, Va'amila Badukin Shaba'ayim, maybe he made some nick in the lips, maybe he made some problem in the eye, but he did it in a duchta, in a place, the Lididan Habimuma, that according to the Jewish religion, we assume this would be a mum that would disqualify the animal. Ulididhu, but according to any other person who would see this animal, they would say, what do you mean? It's perfect, there's nothing wrong with it. If it's missing an arm, missing a leg, if it's missing a major part of the body, so then anybody would say, okay, that's not worthy of being brought as a carbon to Hashem. But if all you're going to have is a problem in the eye or the lip, and therefore you're not going to offer the carbon, says Bar Kamsa, that's a good idea. This way, the Caesar won't realize that the reason they didn't offer his carbon is because of a mum. So says the Gemara, Savar Abana Lekruve Mishim Shalamalta. So now, there was a major dispute in the Beis HaMikdash. What happens? Bar Kamsa shows up with this offering from the Caesar. Problem is, it has a mum in it. The issue is, if we're going to tell the Caesar that we're not offering his carbon, he's going to kill us. Why? Because he's going to say, I see that you're rebelling against me. On the other hand, how can we violate an issu d'oraisa of matal mum b'kachim, of offering that carbon, a carbon that has a mum in it, you're going to bring it as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash? You can't do that. So the Gemara says there was a major dispute that broke out. Half of the Talmidei Chacham there felt, we should bring it anyway, mishum shalom malchus, if we're not going to bend the rules, if we're not going to allow ourselves to violate the issur of Hakravas carbon balmum, then perhaps we're all going to be killed by the Caesar. Amar Reb Zechariah ben Avkulis. Reb Zechariah ben Avkulis was the Av Bezin at that time. He was the greatest Talmud Chacham. He said, no, we can't do that. Yomru, people are going to have the mistaken impression that Bali Mumin Kraven Legabe HaMizbeach. People are going to think that a balmun, when you have an animal that has some kind of deficiency, that they're going to think there's no problem to offer it as a carbon on the Mizbeach. Now this is very troubling. There are those who are arguing we should offer the carbon because otherwise we're going to be killed. And Zachariah ben Akula stands up and he says, no, someone's going to have the mistaken impression that the halacha is not the right way. So what? So somebody will walk away and make a mistake. Is that better than all of us being killed? This is pikuach nefesh. So why does Zachariah ben Akula think that it was okay? So my father once told me perhaps the reason why is based on a comment of the Yamshel Shlomo. There's a famous comment of the Yamshel Shlomo where he writes that sometimes we consider it pikuach nefesh that the Torah should not be given over in an improper way. The Torah has to be given from one generation to the next in authentic ways. And everybody has to know exactly what the proper Mesorah and the proper tradition is. The Yamshel Shlomo proves this from a Gemara, but perhaps that's what Zachariah ben Akulas was saying here. Of course we know that our lives are in danger, but the alternative is that people will have a skewed perspective of what Torah is all about. And that is something we cannot stand for. Whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the Jewish people, don't worry. Ki lo yitosh Hashem amu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to allow the Jewish people to survive. But his Torah, and the authentic Mesorah of his Torah, is something that we need to make sure is passed down properly. And we're concerned here that if somebody sees that we bring a carbon that has a mum in it, we have a concern that they're going to walk away with the mistaken impression that the din of Baal Mum doesn't apply anymore. And therefore, says Zachariah ben Akulas, maybe the right answer here should be, we will offer the carbon, we will reject the carbon, even though the consequence might be that all of us will be killed. Now, says the Gemara, the counter-argument was, Sabar l'miktalinu. They said, maybe let's just kill Bar Kamsa, and then the Caesar will never find out about the end of the story. Says Zachariah ben Akulas, Amar lehu Reb Zachariah Yomru, people will say, Matam u'bikatshi miharik. People will say, no, if you have somebody who makes a blemish in a mum, then they are worthy of Misa, and that it really is not the halacha, that's not the case. Amar Reb Yochanan, Sir Reb Yochanan, bemon the fact that Am b'sanuso, Sir Reb Zachariah ben Akulas, he says that because of Zachariah ben Avkulas had this inability to stand up and do the right thing, because of that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Now the Vilna Gaon finds this very troubling. What do you mean, an v'sanuso? The humility of Zachariah ben Avkulas is what destroyed the Beis Hamikdash? What does that have to do with humility? He made a mistake. He didn't make the right choice. He didn't make the right decision. What does that have to do with humility? So the Vilna Gaon has a fascinating chiddush. He says, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, whenever there was a Din Torah that went on, and they were figuring out, they had a bunch of dayanim sitting around and figuring out what the halacha should be. Does this person deserve the death penalty? Does he not? Is he guilty? Is he innocent? So the Gemara says, if you're going to ask the Av Beis Din first, everyone else in the room is going to be scared to disagree with him. So the Gemara says, they start from the lowest person on the totem pole. They start from the person who is the least Talmud Chacham in the room, and they ask, what do you think? After hearing all of the sides back and forth, after hearing all the evidence and looking into the case, do you think he's guilty or he's innocent? So the first one says he's innocent. Next one says he's guilty. Innocent, guilty, back and forth, back and forth. Finally they go to the highest, the Av Beis Din, and they ask, so what do you think? And he voices his opinion. In this case, says the Gemara, Zachariah ben Avkulas, who was the greatest Talmud Chacham, realized he had an opinion. But Mishum An V'Sanuso, he didn't realize that he was the greatest Talmud Chacham in the room, and once he opens his mouth, no one's going to disagree. So says the Vilna Gaon, that's what it means. An v'sanuso shel Zachariah ben Avkulas. It was an inappropriate humility. He didn't realize that because he's the greatest person in the room, if he says something, nobody's going to disagree. They all have such great respect and deference for him. And therefore, says the Gemara, that was the mistake here. An v'sanuso shel Zachariah ben Avkulas, because he was so humble, and because he didn't understand that he really carried the generation, he didn't realize that that's why there was no give and take here in the room of all the other great Talmidei Chacham. So says the Gemara.
Who would have seen that there's only the people right there? In other words, not everyone who sees a cow walking in the streets could know the cow is a mom because it's
right.
Something in the litter.
Right.
It's only one of the base makers. Everyone there knows this discussion. So
right.
How would it affect the people's, why was he afraid that people in future generations, they all know that the only reason we're doing this
it's a harasha.
No one else knows, right. And they put an announcement also. We're making a special
dispensation of this case.
Save the Jewish people?
Good question. I don't know. It's a very good question. So the Gemara says, five lines into the wide, Shadr ilavai l'niron kesar. So they send Niron kesar. Kika'asi Niron, when Niron comes to destroy, to take revenge against the Jews for not offering the carbon, Shadr gira l'mizrach. He takes an arrow and he throws it toward the east. Asa nafal b'Yerushalayim. And it falls in the direction of Yerushalayim. L'marav, he takes an arrow and he throws it to the west. Asa nafal b'Yushalayim. Once again, it falls in the direction of Yushalayim. L'arba ruchas ha-shamayim, asa nafal b'Yushalayim. Everywhere that he throws an arrow, they all end up in the direction of Yushalayim. Amar le'di Yenuka, he passes a child. Now this happens to be, in the times of the Gemara, the Gemara says that this used to be something that was done. When somebody wanted to know, should I go on this business venture or not? So they used to open up, they used to ask a child, what pasuk are you learning in Chumash? And the child would tell them what they were up to. And there was a siman min ha-shamayim, whether or not I should be involved in whatever it is that I'm doing. So he passes a young child and he says, sok li psukecha. Tell me, which pasuk are you learning now? Amar leh, he says, I'm learning the pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. Benasati esnik masi be'edom biyad ami Yisrael. I'm going to take revenge from Edom because of what they did to the Jewish people. Amar says, Niron Kesar, kutsha b'ichu b'ayelach ruvei beisei. Your God wants to destroy his home, and he wants to wipe his hands clean on me. I'm not going to let him be, take out his revenge on me. So therefore he says, let God find somebody else to do the job. Niron Kesar, who is the general of the army, decides that he's going to become a convert, and he becomes a Jew. Says the Gemara, surprisingly, the great Tani Rav Meir comes out as a descendant of this Niron Kesar. Okay, so that was a failed experiment. So now they send the next general to go and destroy Yerushalayim. Shadrei Ilavailas Vesinus Kesar. So Vespasian is the one who is sent to destroy Yerushalayim. Also Tzara Lei Plashni. So Vespasian goes and he makes a siege around Yerushalayim for 3 years. Havabo Hanut Lasa Asiri. There were three very wealthy human beings who lived in Yerushalayim. Three wealthy Jews. And now Yerushalayim is under siege. So these three Jews step up and they say, we are going to save Yerushalayim, even though we're under siege, and most people would not be able to survive. We have enough to provide for the entire community in Yerushalayim that is not able to go in and out of the walls anymore. Nachdiman ben Gurion was the first one, ben Palva Savua was the second, and ben Tzitzis HaKeses was the third. Now, why did they have these very strange names? Says the Gemara, Nachdiman ben Gurion, that was his name because Shenukta Lochama Ba'avuro, because the Gemara says in Tainus on Daf Yutes that there was once a time when Nachdiman had a pledge that he had to pay off by a certain date, and the Gemara says there that he realized he didn't yet have the money, and God decided that he should hold the sun up for him in order that he should have a few more hours to find ways to repay the debt by the time that he owed it. So that's why he's called Nachdiman, because Shenukta Lochama Ba'avuro, the sun, stood in its place on his behalf, which meant he was obviously a very worthy individual. Number two was Ben Kalba Savua. Why was his name Ben Kalba Savua? Shekal Nichnas Lebeso Kishuhu Rav Kikelev. Anyone who came into his home when he was hungry, Yotze Kishu Savea, left the house and he was full. So he was a very generous person. He used to give food to everybody who passed through the neighborhood. Ben Tzitzis HaKeses. Why was that his name? Shehaisa Tzitziso Nigreres Agabi Kistos. Because his tzitzis used to drag on top of the very fancy chairs. He was a very wealthy person. Now the Beis Yosef asked, how is he allowed to do that? You're not allowed to have your tzitzis drag on the floor. So the Beis Yosef gets into a whole discussion about it. But basically, the Gemara says he was considered to be a very wealthy person. Maybe it means that he had a seat in the parliament. He had a seat in the government. He was considered a very well-connected Jew. So one of these three wealthy Jews said, I pledge upon myself to be able to provide the entire Jewish community in Yerushalayim with wheat and barley. He says, I have storage houses that are filled with oil and salt and wine, and I'm going to give that to the Jewish community. The third said, I have a storage house that is full of wood, and I will provide that for everybody who needs. The Gemara says, of these three wealthy people who gave so much, so selflessly for everybody else in Yerushalayim, the most magnanimous of them, the most generous of the three, was the one who offered to give his wood, because that is Rav Chisda Kalaklidi Havi Masel Shame Barmi Ditzibir. Rav Chisda used to give all the keys to his storage houses to his assistant, except for the keys to the storage house that had the wood, because that was considered a hot commodity. That was considered to be a very great priority. Why? Because back then they needed wood in order to cook anything, in order to make a fire. They needed wood in order to be heated up during the winter months. So wood was considered very important. Amar Rav Chisda, Akalba Lechiti, for every one storage house that you have of wheat, Ba'ishitin Akalba Ditzivi. You need 60 storage houses of wood in order to bake all that wheat and in order to make it into bread. Okay, so the Gemara says these three people stepped up and they said, we are going to support the entire Jewish community in Yerushalayim. Havalu Lemezan, Esrim v'chad shata. Unbelievable. They had enough wood and wheat and barley and salt and oil and everything else to last for the entire community for 21 years. It shows how wealthy they were. Havil behu hani bar yuni. So the problem is that there were a group of Jews in Yerushalayim who were not following the advice of the leaders of the time, and they were these zealots on their own who said, no. The Chachamim in Yerushalayim said, look, we're never going to win this war. So let's go out and figure out how to make peace with the enemy. Lo shavkinu. These zealots said, absolutely not, we're going to fight till the end. They said, absolutely not, we're going to fight and we're going to win the war. You're never going to win the Romans. You're not going to beat the army. The mighty army run by Vespasian, by the Caesar. There's no way you're going to win this. Kamu. Kalinu lahani amri dechiti visari v'havikafu. So they decided, we're going to take matters into our own hands. How are we going to get the Jews to go out and be interested in fighting a war? We're going to burn down all of the storage houses that we just described, all of the wheat and the barley and the wood. If we burn down the storage houses, the Jews are going to have no choice because now they're going to starve to death. So now they're going to have to go out and fight in order for their own survival. Says the Gemara, as this was going on, Marsa bas Vaisus asirasa di Yerushalayim havoi. Marsa bas Vaisus was another woman in Yerushalayim who was very wealthy. Now the problem here is, if she was so wealthy, why did she not step up to also offer to help everybody else? Right? When the Gemara describes the three wealthy people, so the Mefarshim ask here, how come she was not one of them? And some Mefarshim say perhaps the reason why is because she took the wrong side. She was on the side of the zealots. She did not listen to the Chachamim. So when there was a siege, she said, I'm not helping out. I think this is wrong. I think we should all go out and fight. And now in the end, she was destroyed. So the Gemara says, Marsa bas Baisis asirasa di Yerushalayim havoi. Marsa bas Baisis was one of the wealthy people in Yerushalayim. She realizes that now there's nothing left to eat in the whole community. Shadvasa l'shlucha, she sends out a messenger of Amrle, and she says, Zil aisili smida, I want you to bring me fine flour from the market, and this way we'll be able to make some bread. I'm starving. Ada Azal, as the messenger went out to the market, is David and was all sold out. Why? Because there was a famine. So everybody's buying up whatever they can find. And he came too late. Asa, he comes back to her and he says, Amar la smida leka, I'm sorry, there's no fine flour. Chiyurta eka, there's white bread that's still out on the market. Amar le, zil aisili, I want you to bring me the white bread that's out there in the market. Ada Azal, as he went out to the market, is David. He's a pretty foolish servant. Why? He doesn't understand. He should just buy whatever's there. But okay, that's what he is. Asa amalei chiyurta leka. He says, I'm sorry, I don't have the white bread. But gushkara ika, there's coarse bread that's still out there. Amalei zil aisili, she says, quickly, go out to the market and buy whatever there is. Ada Azal is David. Asa amala gushkara leka kimcha desari ika. All they have left on the market is the barley bread. Amalei zil aisili, run out to the market and buy whatever you can find. Asa Azal is David. It was all sold out. Havi shlifa mesana. She was putting on her shoes. She says, this guy is a meshugana. He doesn't understand. He should go out to the market and buy whatever he can find. He didn't understand. He didn't get the message. Amar, she says, I guess I can't trust the guy. I better go out myself and find some bread to eat. Otherwise, I'll never eat anything. So as she's putting her shoes on and goes out into the street, she steps on some excrement. Umesa, and she died from that. Why? Because she was such a mufuneka, she was such a fancy woman, and now that she's, you know, has this terrible experience, she didn't know what to do with herself. Kariyala Rabbi Yochanan Zakai, Haraka Bacha Bahanuga Asher Lanitza Kafragla. He quoted a pasuk in Dvarim that sometimes you have a person who's such a mufunak, who's so careful to be clean, when they get dirty, it's an unusual experience for them, they don't know what to do. Ika the Amri, some say she didn't step on excrement, but rather, Grogus Rab Tzadik Achla. So we're going to talk about Rav Tzedek in a minute, but basically she found these dates in the street that were all sucked out from the juice, and she went and she ate them, and then she died from that experience. Okay, now what's the story with Rav Tzedek? Rav Tzedek was a great Talmud Chacham in the generation. Yosef Arbayin Shnin B'Tanisa Delalichar V'Yushalayim. Rav Tzedek said, I know that there's going to be a Churban of Yushalayim, and he tried to do whatever he could to make sure it wouldn't happen. So what did he do? He sat 40 years fasting, in order that God should change his mind and not destroy Yerushalayim. 40 years. And therefore he was so sick to the point, ki avi achol midi, whenever he would eat something, he would eat at nights, but he would fast during the day. Whenever he would eat something, havi mischazi me'avra, you were able to see it from the outside of his body. Like sometimes, Nebuch, you see those pictures from the Holocaust, and you see after the people were liberated from the concentration camps, and they ate something, their bodies were like skeletons. You were able to see everything going down the system in the body as they ate. V'chi havi barya, when he became better, ma'isi le grogros, ma'yitz miyayu v'shadi luhu. When he became better, unfortunately, I once read that many of the survivors of the camps died because they ate too much after they had gone so many years without eating normally, from malnutrition. And part of the problem was that they didn't understand you have to do it in stages. So the Gemara says here, the way that they cured Reb Tzedek at the end of all of his fasting was, they gave him little by little, they let him suck out the juice from a date. That was the way that he was able to rehabilitate himself. So this woman, Marsa Bas Baisus, as she's dying from whatever the experience was, here she was, she went from being this rich woman in Yerushalayim, and now she's about to die because she has nothing to eat. As she was dying, Afikta l'chaldava b'kaspa, she took all of her gold and all of her silver, all of her money, Shadise b'shuka, she throws it out the window into the street, v'yamar, and she says, Hai l'mayimi b'yali, what good does all this money do for me? V'hayna d'chsiv, that's what it means in Yecheskel, kaspa m'chutzos yashlichu, people were throwing their money into the streets. And unfortunately, you see the same thing. There are families who are wealthy, who never expected anything's going to go wrong, and then something goes wrong in the family, somebody gets sick, and they say, what does all the money do for me? I can go to the hospital, I can have all the top doctors in the world, but if God decided that this is what should happen, that's what's going to happen, and the money means nothing. In the end of the day, sets your priorities straight, and Marsha Bas Baisus realizes, I lived an entire life running after money and being so excited about my money, and now I realize it didn't get me anywhere.
Yeah. Once that the shaliach of Marsha Bas Baisus, as far as him not bringing back the
right.
Logically, we seem to do so.
Right.
Just show the level of sinus chinam that there wasn't time. He goes, if this bread is not there, I'm not getting anything else. That bread?
Could be. Interesting. Okay, so the Gemara gets back to the story. So again, we have in Yerushalayim there's a major fight between the Baryonim, or the Zealots, these wild people who wanted to fight, and we have the Talmidei Chachamim in Yerushalayim who have an interest in just making peace. They say, we're never going to win, we're never going to beat this army, let's just go and figure out how to make peace with them. So we have back to the story in Yerushalayim. Abba Sikra, Reish Bar Yuna de Yerushalayim. Who was the head of this group of gangsters? His name was Abba Sikra. Just so happened to be, he was Bar Achte, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Abba. He was the nephew of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the God of Ador. Shalach Lehi sends a message to him. Tabitzina Lagabai. He says, do me a favor. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to his nephew, let's have a meeting. Let's discuss. We're the two sides. We're at opposite ends of the spectrum here. Let's try to figure out what we're going to do. Asa Amarle, he says to him, Ad Amos, Avidatu Hachi Bekadisale the Alma Bekafna. He says, how long are you going to allow the Jewish people in Yerushalayim to die from a famine? And you're telling everybody they have no right to make peace, you're telling them they have to fight. Let's just figure out how to make peace here. Amarle Mayevit. So Abba Sikra says, what do you want me to do? The Amina Lahumidi Katluli. He says, I'm afraid of my own people. I'm the head of the gangsters, but I've gotten so far into this mess. I've gotten so far into their ideals, into their messages that they stand for, that he says, if I go against what I stand for, they're going to kill me. So he says, I have no choice. Amarle, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, do me a favor. Chazi li takanta li didi de epok. Figure out a way for me to get out of Yerushalayim. Efshar da'avi atzela porta. Maybe I'll be able to do something. Maybe I'll negotiate something if I just figure out how to get out of the siege. Amarle, naka nafshecha b'ktziri. He says, I have a creative idea. Pretend that you are dead. Everyone will come. First, pretend that you're sick. Ktsiri means pretend that you're sick. Everybody will come and visit you. And then, as everyone's coming to visit, we're going to bring some spoiled milk into the room. It's going to smell awful. Everyone's going to assume that that's a dead body. We'll tell everybody, we'll tell everybody, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great God of Ador, has died. We're going to have your Talmidim, who will carry your coffin out of Yerushalayim. We know that when somebody dies, the dead weight is heavier than somebody who's alive. And therefore he says, we don't want anyone to catch on that we're making a trick here. So therefore what we're going to do is, we're going to tell everybody that you died. We're only going to tell your Talmidim to carry the coffin. This way nobody's going to realize that really you're still alive. Aben Haki, that's what they did. Rabbi Lezer carries the coffin from one side. Rabbi Shua carries it from the other side. So the Magen Avraham has a discussion. What's the halacha if you have regular members of the Chevra Kadisha that every time somebody dies, they're the ones who bury the body? Now, the God of Ador passes away, And everybody's fighting, they want to do it. So the Chavar Kadisha says, what do you mean? We're the ones who are always designated to bury everybody. But the Talmidim of this great tzaddik say, we're the closest to him. We were the ones who were the Talmidim all the year, so we want to bury him. So who has the right of way? Who's right, says the Magen Avraham, even though the Chavar Kadisha does it all the time. So he says, perhaps from this Gemara you see that Talmidim are the ones who have the first dibs. They're the ones who have the first right, because after all, they were the ones who were designated here. And in fact, there's a fascinating line in Tosis, Ksubas Daf Kuf Gimel. Tosis writes that the Tzavah of Rabbi was that his two Talmidim should be the ones to take care of him after he dies, because he said the same way they were Meshamash Mi Mechayim, they should have the opportunity to be Meshamash Mi La'achamisa at all. And therefore, Tosis writes based on that as well, that there was one of the Bali Atosis who was a student of Rabbeinu Tam. His name was Rab Chaim Cohen. Chaim Cohen means that he was a Cohen. Normally, a Cohen is not supposed to be Metam in the Mace. Still, Rab Chaim Cohen said, at the time that Rabbeinu Tam died, I would be Metami myself to take care of the burial arrangements for Rabbeinu Tam. There are plenty of other people around. The answer is, you are the Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore, Rab Chaim Cohen felt that he has a right to violate his kahuna. A Cohen is usually not allowed to be Metami. He said, since I'm the closest Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, maybe I'm allowed to violate my kahuna in order to be involved in his burial. So that's what happened here. Four lines on the bottom. Nichnas Barab Lazar Mitzadacher, Rabbi Shul Mitzadacher, Kimatul Pischa. So now they get to the opening, to the gate of Yerushalayim, and who's blocking the gate? This group of zealots, this group of wild people are blocking from any Jews going through. Bar the Mikre, so they say, hey, why do you have a coffin here? We don't believe, I'm sure you guys are up to something, we don't really believe that he's dead. Bar the Mikre, they said, if you want really to prove that he's dead, we're going to take our spears and spear whatever body is inside there, and we'll see if he's alive or not. Amr Lahem, Yomer Rabba Dukri, how can you spear the body? People are going to say that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, our great Jewish leader, was speared to death. You can't do that. Ba'al HaMinchate. So they said, okay, let's at least shake around the coffin a little bit. If he's alive, he'll start screaming. Amr Lahu, Yomer Rabba Dafu. People are going to say, what, you push around the coffin like that? It's not respectful. Paskule Bava. So they fell for the trick, and they open up the gates, and they let them out. Nafuk. So now they get to the other side. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai jumps out of the coffin, and he goes to do his work. Nafak, kimata lahasam, when he gets there to negotiate with the other side, Amar Shama Lacha Malka. He says, Vespasian. He addresses him as being the king. Shama Lacha Malka, Amar Le Mechaydas Trektala. Vespasian responds to him, and he says, you deserve to be killed. Why? Two reasons. Number one, Chada Dalav Malka Ana, Vikakars Li Malka. First of all, it's disrespectful to the king, because you're referring to me as king, and after all, I am not the king. I am the assistant to the king. I am just the general of the army. So you shouldn't call me king. The Sue, number two, Imalka Ana, if you really believe that I am the king, Adha Idna Amailo Asis Lagabai, why do you wait so long to come negotiate with me? You could have come a long time ago. The season has been going on for a long time. So why do you wait so long? So the story is told about the Bardichever, that when it came to Hamelech on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Davening, when they call out, Hamelech. So it says the Bar Ditchever used to cry. Why would he cry? He says, because if you declare that this really is the king, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to you, if you really believe I'm king, where have you been? I've been around all year. You've been sleeping since last year, Hamelech. So the Bar Ditchever, every year when he used to say Hamelech, cried, because he said it's the same line that the Gemara says here. If you really believe I'm the king, why do you wait so long? You can negotiate with me, you can talk to me, and you waited so long, it shows you don't really respect me. So therefore, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a little bit of an issue here. Amar Lei, so he says, let me respond to your two questions. Number one, the Ka'amar Lav Malka Ana. Number one, you say that I'm not the king, and it was disrespectful of you to call me king. If Rabbi Malka Ab, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I know you don't know yet, but let me just let you know that I now declare that you are the king. What do you mean, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? How do you know I'm the king? Di Lav Malka Ab, Bo Mimsra Yushalayim Biyada. If you were not the king, there's no way God would ever allow you to be the one to take over Yerushalayim. Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says in Yeshayah b'halavavnon ba'adir yipol. It's true. There might be a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but the Beis HaMikdash will only fall in the hands of somebody who is mighty. It's a disgrace for the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed by somebody who's lower down on the totem pole. So therefore, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told him, it must be, if the Ribbono Shel Olam is allowing you to be the one to destroy Yerushalayim, it must be that you have now been elevated to be the king. Number two, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, this that you mentioned, you want to know why I haven't showed up until now? He says, I'll tell you. We have a group of bandits in Yerushalayim, Jews, who don't let us go out to negotiate. We wanted to make peace from the beginning, but they're not letting. Amar Lei, so Vespasian responds to him, Ilu chavish shel dvash, let's say you have a chavish shel dvash, means you have a canister filled with honey. Vidarkon karach aleha, and you have a snake that is wrapped around the outside of it. Lo ha yishovin es hachavis bishvil hadarkon, would you not have broken the canister in order to get rid of the snake? So he says the same thing over here. You should have broken the walls of Yerushalayim in order to get rid of these bandits in your community. Ishtik. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I didn't know what to say. Kari alei Rav Yosef, Yitem Rabbi Kiva, Meshiv, Chachamim, Achar, V'daitam, Yisachal. Sometimes the Chacham doesn't quite know what to answer. Ibar alei Lememar, you should have said, Shaklinon Tzapsa, V'shaklin alei Lidarkon, V'kalin alei, V'chavisa shaklin ala. He should have answered him that we would have taken a stick and killed the snake, and then we would have been left with the honey and the barrel, and we wouldn't have lost anything. So he says he should have responded that we would have killed the baryonim. We would have fought off our own, but we didn't think of it. Okay. Adahachi yasi pristika alei meromi. As Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is sitting there, an emergency message comes in from Rome. Amar leikum, and the messenger tells Vespasian you should get up to mislay Caesar because the emperor has died. Va'amri hanu chashivi de Romi, and the Roman government has decided la'osvaf bereisha. They decided that you should be the new king. You should be the new emperor. Havisayim chavnasani. So he's beside himself. He's shocked, and he starts putting on his shoes. Barle misayim la'achrine. He wants to put on the other one. Lo ayel. He's not able to get the second one on. Barle mishafei le'idach. Now he wants to take off the first shoe that he put on. Lo nafak. He was stuck on his feet. Amar mai hai. He turns to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He says, "What's going on? Why are my feet growing? Why are they swelling up?" Armelei lo tzitzdar, don't feel bad about it. Shmua tova asilach. It must be because you got the good news that you are now the emperor. Dechsiv shmua tova tadashin etzem. The pasuk says in Mishlei, when a person gets good news, they feel heavier, they feel bigger. So he says that's why you can't get your shoes on, because you just heard the good news. Like the pasuk, vayishman yishurin vayivat. Right. Sometimes when we feel good about ourselves, so we become, the metaphor is that we feel bigger. Elamaita kante. So what should I do? I can't walk around with one shoe on, one shoe off. So he says, Leise inishalom yasva daitech menei. Bring somebody who you can't stand. Velichlich kamach. And let him aggravate you. Dechsiv, beruach nechaa tiyavish garim. When you have a low spirit, when you're upset about something, so you feel much smaller, you get much skinnier. Abed hachi, that's what he did. Ayel and his shoes went on. Amalei, he says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, me'achar dechachmisu kuli hai. If you're such a smart man and you know how to figure out any problem, how to circumvent any issue, let me ask you again. How come you never came to visit me until now? You're such a smart person. How come you never thought to come here? Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, didn't we just have this conversation? I also told you that your argument didn't make sense. So Vespasian says, look, I'm busy now. Now I became the emperor. I have no time for this little stuff anymore. I'm going to send somebody else to come and negotiate with you. Ela bay minei midi da atenlach. Tell me something, tell me your wishes, and I will grant them before I leave. Amar Lei, number one, he says, Tein li Yavne mechachamel. I want you to leave me the city of Yavne and all of the Tamine Chachamim who live in that city. Even though you're going to destroy parts of Yerushalayim, parts of Eretz Yisrael, I want you to leave the city of Yavne. Number two, he says, Shushalisa de Ram Gamliel. I want you to leave the family of Ram Gamliel, who was the Nasi. I want you to leave his family alive, because they are the ones who are carrying on the Mesorah. Ve'asvase de Messiah on the Rab Tzadik. Number three, he says, we have this great Tzadik, whose name is Rab Tzadik, as we mentioned before, and he's been fasting for 40 years, and he's so sick. I need you to send us a doctor that can help cure him. Kari alei Rav Yosef, yitem Rabbi Kiva, meishiv chachamim achar v'dayta misachal. I don't understand. Ibar le meir alei deshavkinu hadazimna. He says, I don't get it. If you're given the opportunity to ask for anything in the world, all you ask for is the city of Yavne, and you ask for a doctor for a tzaddik, and you ask for the family of Ram Gamliel. Why don't you ask him to leave the siege alone? Why don't you ask him that the city of Yerushalayim should survive? But who suffer? So why did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai not ask that? Dilma kuli hai lo avid v'hatzala purta nami lo havi. So he said, if I'm going to ask for that, maybe I'll end up getting nothing. Maybe it's asking for too much. And therefore he said, let me limit my request to something that is manageable on Vespasian's part. Okay. Asvasan the Messiah on the Rab Tzadik. So they sent the doctor to help Rab Tzadik. Maihi, what's the story? What did they do? Yuma Kama, the first day that they were trying to rehabilitate him, Ashkiyu Amai de Pari. They gave him bran soaked water. Lamachar Maya de Sipuka, Lamachar Maya de Kimcha, Adiravach Mei purta purta. So they gave him in rations. They gave him small amounts at a time until ultimately he was completely rehabilitated. Vespasian goes ada azal shadre Titus, and now Vespasian became the emperor. So he decides to have to make a new general. So he sends Titus Harasha. Titus was the one who really destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Va'amar ei Eloheho ei Elohei Matzur Chaseyubo Zu Titus Harasha. That is a reference to Titus Shechirev v'gidev klapi Milo, that he went and did terrible things against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma'asa, what did he do? Not just that he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, but he acted so inappropriately in the Beis Hamikdash. Tafas zona biyado, he took a zona with him. V'nichnas lebeis kachi hakadashim, he goes into the holiest place in the Beis Hamikdash. V'yitzia sefer Torah, and he lays out a sefer Torah on the floor of the Kodesh Hakadashim to serve as a mattress. V'avar aleh avera, he lays down with his zona on top of the sefer Torah in the Kodesh Hakadashim, and he violates an avera. And as he's there, natal sayef v'gider es haparochas, he takes a spear, and he stabs the parochas. V'nasa neis v'hayadam mevatzveitz v'yotze. As he spears the parochas, there's blood squirting out from the parochas itself. V'kasavar, and he thought shahara gesatzmo. He thought, that's a euphemism. It means he thought that he killed God himself. Shenemar shagu tzarerecha bekerav moadecha samu osos sam osos. Rav Asher Weiss once told me what it means here. Kasavar hara gesatzmo. The Gemara means to say that he thought that he killed, not himself, he thought he killed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a euphemism. So he said, maybe that's what it means in the Haggadah. When we say about the Rasha, Lefisha Hosias Atzmo Min HaKlal Kafar Be'ikr. Maybe it doesn't mean he took himself out. It means like the Gemara says here, Lefisha Hosias Atzmo, because he took HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the equation. That's why he's considered to be Kafar Be'ikr. Okay. Abachanan Omer, Mikamocha Chasinya. Mikamocha Chasin V'kasha. Who is like you, God, who is so strong, Sha'ata Shomea? You watch while this terrible person, Titus, comes to your Beis HaMikdash, violates such a horrible avera, and you just keep quiet. You let him do what he has to do. What does it mean when we say that pasuk in Az Yashir? It means, who is like you, God, that can be like a mute? That while everything is going on in front of you, you see the world is self-destructing, you still allow people to have their own bechira chavshes. You allow human beings to make choices and to make decisions. And even though it's painful for you, you allow them to do what they do and you don't say a word. And that is really what we mean when we say, Micha mocha ba'elem Hashem. Ma'asa, what did Titus do? Natal es haparochas, he takes the parochas down from the Kodesh HaKadashim. Ba'aso kimin gargusti, he makes it like a basket. He uses that as a basket to take all of the menorah and all the other kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, and he throws it in. V'hoshivan b'sfina, he comes and he takes all of these kelim, brings them onto a boat, leilech lehishtabeach b'iro, in order to bring them back to his hometown. Shenemar, they were going to have a parade there. V'chein ra'isi v'sham kivurim, u'bol mimakum kadosh yahalechu v'ishtakhu b'ir asher kein asu. Al tikre kavurim ela kibutzim. They all got together and had a big parade. Al tikre vayishtakhu ela vayishtabchu. He went and he praised himself back in his hometown about how successful he was in destroying the Beis Hamikdash. Ikad yamri, some say kavurim mamish dafilu minui dimitamran iglayi lahom. Titus was so successful in destroying the Beis Hamikdash, everything that was hidden underground, he was able to expose and uncover as well. He took everything home with him. As he's traveling back on this boat, Amal Alav Nachshol Shebayam Latovo, all of a sudden there's a big hurricane that tried to drown Titus. Amar Kimeduma Ani, it seems to me, he says, Shaloheim Shalelu Ein Buras Ela B'mayim. It seems that the Jews have a God, but it seems that this God is only able to do anything powerful in the water. Ba Paro Tava B'mayim. Paro tries to destroy the Jewish people. How does God pay him back? He drowns him in the water. Ba Sisra Tava B'mayim. Sisra comes along and he has the same punishment. Afu Amir Alai, the Tavani Babayim, says Titus Arasha, God, the only thing you can do to me is drown me in the water. And you see how weak God is. His only power is in the water. Im Gibaru, if God is so powerful, Yala li Abasha viyasu imi milchama. Let God come here onto the dry land and fight with me. Let him show me how powerful he actually is. Yatsa Sabasko viyamarlo, a heavenly voice comes out and says, Rasha, ben beno shel Esav Arasha, you are an evil person. Bar Yakala, I have a tiny creature, Yeshli Ba'olami. It flies around in the world. V'yitush Shema, it is called a gnat, the smallest insect. Amai Kari Le Bar Yakala, why is it called so small and simple? Dima'alna Isla, because it has a mouth. Umafakna Lesla, it doesn't have any way to excrete anything from its body. Aleli Abasha, I want you, Titus, to get off of this boat. Vitasa ima melchama. I will send the smallest creature, the smallest insect, and that's what will destroy your life. Aleli Abasha, Titus brazenly gets off the boat. He goes onto the dry land. He says, okay, God, bring it on. You're not going to be able to destroy me. Ba yitosh v'nichnas b'chotmo, and a tiny little gnat flies into his nose. V'nakar b'mocho sheva shanim. It's flying around in his brain for 7 years. And it's giving him a headache, because he has this noisemaker inside of his head knocking around. Yumachad, one day, havikachalif ababa debe nafcha. One day he's walking by a blacksmith. Shama kol arzafta. He hears the hammer of the blacksmith banging. Ishtik. And all of a sudden, the gnat inside of his head, the fly inside of his head, stopped banging around. Amar ikatakanta. Titus says, oh, that's the answer. I'm going to have somebody come to my house every day and bang with a hammer. That's the only way to get this fly to calm down. Kol yuma maise nafcha umachu kame. Every day he used to hire a blacksmith to come to his house and bang against whatever it was in order that the fly should stop making noise. Lenachri, when a non-Jewish blacksmith came to his house to do the job, Yav le arba zuzi. He would give him 4 zuzi. He would pay him for the service. The Yisrael, when it was a Jew, Amale, I'm not paying you. He said, Mistayach te kachazes besanach. You're lucky enough that you get to see your enemy suffering. I'm not going to pay you for that as well. At lasen yomin avad hachi. For 30 days he had a blacksmith coming, and they would bang against the wall, and they would make noise, and this way the fly inside of his head would stop bothering him. Mikan ve'elech kimen dedash dash. After 30 days, the fly got used to it, and it no longer responded. It no longer used to do anything when people would bang. And from here, the Vilna Gaon writes that this is the reason, perhaps, why we don't blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Because we blow the shofar starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul. But he says, after 30 days of doing something, we get used to it. Like the Gemara says here, kivin d'dash dash. Once 30 days pass, it's not something that's exciting for us anymore. It's not something that's different. And therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, this is why we need to stop Erev Rosh Hashanah, in order that it shouldn't be 30 days. By the time Rosh Hashanah comes, then we're not going to be excited about hearing the shofar. No one's going to be inspired by what they hear. And this is the reason why the Pri Chadosh writes in Hilchos Birchos Kohanim, he writes it in Kufchav Chasen Arachayim, that if you have a Kohen who has a mum, so it says that he's not allowed to duchen because everybody's going to be distracted from the Birchos Kohanim. They're going to be looking at the mum on his body. They're going to be looking at the blemish. However, it says that if he has it for 30 days, and everybody knows about it because he lives in the neighborhood, so then, says the Pri Chadosh, everyone got used to it already. No one's going to stare at it. That's the way our Gemara teaches us here as well, that 30 days is considered something unusual, and after 30 days, you don't get excited about anything anymore. The Makar Baruch has an amazing story that's written by the... Makar Baruch is by the Torah Tamima. So he wrote a sefer Makar Baruch. He has a story in there that once on Simchas Torah, he says everybody was dancing around and everyone was being so inspired, everyone was all excited about it, and he saw that there was one little girl in the room. Every time the Sefer Torah passed around her seat, every time they were dancing around the shul, she never once got up to kiss the Sefer Torah. And he couldn't understand, how is it that every little kid, every adult in the room is so inspired, is so excited about this, and you're not? So he finally walked over to her and he said, what's the story? How come you're not inspired? Why aren't you excited? Why don't you ever kiss the Sefer Torah? She said, the answer is because my father's a sofer. We have Sefer Torah in the house all the time. So therefore, he said, he learned from that you see, when you're too overexposed to something, you don't really appreciate what it's all about. And because her father was the sofer, so she didn't really appreciate what a Sefer Torah was all about. And that's exactly what our Gemara says here as well. Tanya, 7 lines from the bottom. Everyone can leave whenever they're comfortable leaving. I plan to continue for probably another 20 minutes or so. Tanya, Amar Pinchas ben Aruba, Ani Hayisi ben Gedoli Romi. I was there. I was one of the great politicians in Rome. Ukishameis. And when Titus actually died, Patsu esmocho, they broke open his head. They did an autopsy. Umatsubo kitsipor duror. They found not a fly in his head. They found that this thing had grown into an entire bird that was flying around in his head. Mishkal Shnei Slime, it was heavy. Bimasnita Tanaka Gozel Ben Shana, it was like a pigeon that's 1 year old. That was the size of it. Mishkal Shnei Litrin. Amar Abayi Naktinan, we have a tradition. Piv Shal Nechoshes, there was a miracle that was done that God made sure that the claws of this pigeon, not claws, whatever you call it, the beak, thank you, was out of copper, that it would really give a good bang on his head. Bitsi Parnav Shel Barzel, and the claws of this bird were also made from metal. Kiava Kamayis, as Titus was dying, Amar Lahu Leklu Lahu Gavra Bili Badri Lekitma Ashev Yami. He says, I'm leaving over instructions. I want to be cremated, and I want you to burn my body and you should spread my ashes all over the seven oceans in the world. Why? I don't want God to be able to find me. So if you burn up my body and you spread the ashes all over the place, God won't be able to find me. Because if he finds me, I'm in big trouble. So this is Titus HaRasha. That's what he's thinking before he dies. And this really is the story, as we'll see on Yom Kippur, this really is the story of Yonah. He thinks there's a way to run away from God. You can try as hard as you want, and you can take a boat here, and you can decide not to go where you're supposed to go, and you can do whatever you think is going to circumvent the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's never going to work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the end, if he wants to talk to you, he's going to talk to you. And if you try to run away, and you try to burn your ashes, and you try to figure out a way to circumvent the plan, it's never going to actually work. So that's what happened here with Titus. He asked that his body should be burnt and spread across all the oceans in the world in order that God shouldn't be able to find him. Unculus bar Clunculus bar Achte de Titus Habi. Unculus happened to be the nephew of Titus. Ironic. Bai le Giure. Unculus wants to become a convert. Azal aske le Titus bin Egida. So Unculus says, you know, let me figure out how to have a discussion with Titus. Titus is now dead. He's my uncle. But maybe there's a way that magically I can have some kind of conversation with him. Amrele, so he figures out how to engage Titus in conversation after he died already. And he asks him, Man chashaba hu alma. So now, you're in the other world. And my question to you is, who is considered great in that world? Amrele, Yisrael. The people who are great in this world are the Jews. So he asks his uncle Titus, do you think I should become a convert? Maybe I should join the religion. Amale, not a good idea. Why? Milayu nefishin v'lamatzis l'kaiminu. They have so many mitzvahs, there's no way you'll ever be able to keep all the mitzvahs. So it's not a good idea. You're going to make a mistake. Zil igri behu bahu amal administration. Says Titus, I have a better idea. You should employ the Jews, they should be your workers. And I'm telling you, that's the way that you're going to be on top of the world. How do you know? Because we just read in Necha, Hayut Sarah LaRosh, those people who made the Jews work hard became the Rosh, they became the heads of the Jewish community. Halameitzer the Yisrael Nasa Rosh, anyone who made things difficult for the Jewish people ended up becoming on top of the world. And Tosis writes in Maseches Chagiga Daf Yud Gimel, what is the reason? It's like we said before. Tosis says because anyone who's going to make the Jewish people work, it would be a bizayon to the Jews that they should have to work for someone who's not considered on the top echelon of society, who's not considered a part of the high society. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had it, that even though in some generations the Jews are limited, and the Jews have to do certain kinds of demeaning activities, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only makes us do it for those nations of the world that are considered to be Sareha LaRosh. Amarle Dine Dahu Gavar B'mai. Well, Titus, once I have you in conversation, I'm just curious, what is your punishment? How is God punishing you now? Amalei, he says, b'mai de pasik anafshe, because I decided that I want to burn up my body and be cremated, kol yoma every day mechanshile lekitme, God goes ahead and gathers up my ashes again, v'dainile, and once again, God, every single day, after he gathers up all my ashes from all over the world, he once again has this difficult conversation with me, and he judges me v'kalule, and then he burns me up again, as per my own wishes, and he listens to me, he burns me up, and he spreads my ashes across all of the rivers in the world. So now he says, you know, I have an idea. Let me now try to ask somebody else. Bilam HaRasha is also one of the infamous people mentioned in Chumash. So Unculus says, well, I'm trying to figure out, should I become a convert or not? So let me go ask Bilam. So he asks Bilam the question. There's a fascinating, it's not for now, but there's a fascinating discussion in the Michta Melio where he wonders whether or not when someone goes through a mishpat in Gehenim, when somebody is punished in Gehenim, does that just get rid of their evil, or does that ultimately make them into a good person? I don't know why he's so bothered with this question. It's not something that I ever was bothered by, but I'm not Rav Dessler. So the Michta Melio is bothered, what exactly is the process in Gehenim? So he says, it seems from this Gemara, and when somebody goes to Gehenna, it's not that they now become a good person. They remain a terrible person. It's just that God takes away the terrible evils that they've done, but they don't become good. Otherwise, Titus is already dead. He's already being punished. So he should give the proper advice to his nephew, Unculus. And Bilam HaRasha, here he is, still, after all these years of being punished, Bilam HaRasha is still the same Bilam HaRasha. So Unculus takes him in for a conversation. Amalei, so he asks him, Man chashibahu alma, can you tell me who is considered special in the world to come? Amrele Yisrael, the Jewish people. Ma'u ladvuke bahu. So we asked him, what do you think? Should I become a part of this nation? Amrele lo sidrosh shlomam v'tovasam kalayam. Not a good idea. Amrele dina dahu gavar b'mai. How are you being punished? Bilam, he says, Amrele b'shichvas zera rosechas. God has a big melting pot full of shichvas zera, and he's burning me up every day in this pot of shichva zera rosechas, a boiling hot semen. So why is that? So some of Farshim say, I think the Marsha, he writes, because Bilam is the one who gave the idea that they should send the women of Moab to go and be involved in inappropriate behavior with the Jewish people. So as a payback, mida keneged mida, God says, that's what you wanted to do, your punishment is going to be and shichva zera rosechas. Azal aske ben agida leposhi Yisrael. Now Unkelus goes and he has a conversation with the Poshe Yisrael. Amalei man chashabahu alma, Amalei Yisrael. Ma'alad vukebuhu, should I become a part of them? Amalei tovasam tirosh, ra'asam lo sidrosh. It's a good idea to be part of the good times for Jewish people, but ra'asam lo sidrosh, don't be a part of the bad times. Kala nogebahem, kila nogebahas eno. Whoever starts up with the Jewish people is as if they're touching, they're poking out somebody's pupil, somebody's eyes, meaning it's a bad thing to do. Amalei dina dahu gavra b'mai. What is your punishment? Amalei b'tzar rosechas. We have our own terrible punishment that God is paying us back for. Amalei marakal amalek al dibre chachamim. Nidom b'tzar rosechas. Somebody who is not mechabe tamine chachamim. And it's a problem in every generation, says the Gemara. And this is a quote from the Gemara in Erevin, that we have an obligation to be mechabe tamine chachamim. And here the Poshe Yisrael were the people who were not mechabe the tamine chachamim. And they had a terrible punishment in the Olam Ha'emes. Tachazim ma ben Poshe Yisrael l'neviyah umas ha'olam avdei abodazar. Says the Gemara, look at the difference between those, Poshe Yisrael, and the Jewish people, those who went off, and the Nevi'e Umas Ha'olam. Tanya Amar Belezer. Bo re'e kama gedola kocha shabusha. Look how far somebody is willing to go when they are embarrassed. Why? How do we know? Because we just went on this long tangent. We spoke about the whole story of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It started with Vespasian. Then Vespasian becomes the emperor. Then he sends Titus. And Titus goes to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And how did all of it start? It all started because Bar Kamsa went to the emperor originally. And Bar Kamsa is the one who convinced him that he should be involved in retribution against the Jewish people. All of that started just simply because Bar Kamsa was embarrassed by a party. So look how far a person's willing to go just because of their embarrassment. And you have to be so careful. Shari Siyah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Bar Kamsa, V'hecher v'espeso, v'saraf es heichala. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed, he enabled Bar Kamsa to go ahead with his plan. And because of that, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now again, as we started, the Gemara says in Yuma, the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because of Sinas Chinam. And this story of Bar Kamsa is just one example of the way that the Jews were acting at the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, but it's indicative of what we find that was going on throughout the whole community, throughout the whole generation, that people were not sensitive to each other, people were not thinking enough about one another, and because of that, says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed, and he allowed for our enemies, for the Romans to come and ravage his home, his Beis HaMikdash, and his holy city, Yerushalayim. So we will stop here.